Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
TMS is brought to you daily by the support of our patrons at patreon.com/TMS, like Jason P. Martin, Lucas Qualls, and Jeannie. Coming up on TMS. On Wednesdays, we wear burgundy.
Occam's epilady.
Stiff live babies.
Self-identified sluttage.
The fake baby was a chicken.
Consider yourself regarded.
I don't like fake babies.
Nobocop.
Wheelhouse in disguise.
You'll get no Data, no Metallica, and no Lieutenant Yar.
What a maroon.
Whoa, yellow is the color of my phone greeting.
Need another 8 inches.
Tom Merritt, Secret Romulan.
Swimming, raconteurs, and snow globes with Randy and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
All has concentrated cleaning power to get out even rubbed in dirt and grease stains, so everything comes out clean.
What happened to where I fell down?
I mean, what we're talking about here is initiative.
The Morning Stream. He's taking a dump in a can.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to TMS. It is Wednesday, February 7th, 2024. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Yellow.
Oh, that reminds me of my dad. He always said yellow on the phone.
Aww.
He'd pick it up and go, yellow, and we'd all laugh. But now we don't have him anymore. We don't have nothing to laugh at anymore, you know?
Oh, geez. Wow.
I know. Let's get dark.
Didn't need to take you into a dark place
Let's get nice and dark here early on the morning stream. Hey, everybody. It's good to have you here. It's Wednesday. That means lots and lots of stuff. So we're piled up and ready to rock. Quick note. Oh, I'm on a new microphone. Did I mention that?
Oh, no. Look at that. Oh, it's a Shure. You're not on your... what happened to your... So, funny, because we were just talking about microphones all pre-show.
I know. I wasn't even thinking about
Barker
it.
And the Gene Rayburn microphones. And I even said, oh, you're not going to get the fidelity of those that we get on our Heils. And yeah. You didn't say a word. You didn't say...
No, I forgot. I honestly forgot. So I have... Okay, so here's what I did. I wanted to make... I've been working on having the studio so it could have a guest easier. So like Kim and Carter and everybody who wants to sit here can sit here and have their own dedicated mic and camera and stuff. But to do that, I only had two mics that I've been using, and that's fine, except one of them I use for game streaming, one I use for what we're doing right now, and then one I use for the guest thing. So I ordered this. It's not the high-end Shure SMB7 that everybody and their dog gets for like music and you know, fancy radio and everything. Because I read about, I don't know, a handful of reviews that said... This model was way less expensive and better at voice stuff than even the high-end one. They were like comparing it and saying this is at least as good or maybe even better in a couple of ways. So you should get this. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's like half the money. I'm going to do that. So I grabbed it. And my plan was just to have it over here on the game thing. But I really like how it sounds. So I said, you know what? Change is fun. These two Heils here and here. Scott will stay here in the Shure space right here.
In the Shure zone.
The Shure zone.
And the Heils will be for your guests and your gaming.
Yeah. I raise your arm if you're sure right here. Got it.
There's, you know, heaven forbid, you know, when you go to game, you just unplug the mic and put it into a different stand or a different.
Huge pain in the ass, though. Such a pain. Because I got these the mic arms I have, they go far, but not far, not quite far enough. I need about another 8 inches. And then. I have an arm over here that I just swing over, bam, I'm on the other machine. It just makes it super easy.
You need your brother-in-law to come in and do some really cool, like, rail system that your mics and your mic arms can move on from the ceiling. So it's like, ooh. Oh, I'm over here now. And you just slide it over to the other spot.
I like that. That's not bad. Yeah. I would do that in a heartbeat.
That would be, how cool would that be, right? I mean, I'm looking right now and saying, I actually could set something like that up here.
Yeah, you got the cork ceiling stuff and all that. You could totally, cork, whatever it is. What do you call that? It's called something, your ceiling.
Oh, the drop ceiling.
Drop ceiling, yeah. You got all kinds of options.
But I actually have a beam right there that I could hook into.
That's all. You should do that. You want to do that? You should. It's, sounds like work.
it's a lot of work. I don't need that. Yeah.
The model I got, by the way, for those wondering, is the Shure MV7X. It's an XLR microphone, Pro Dynamic Quality Mic for voice recording, voice isolation technology, all metal construction, mic stand compatible. Blep, 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 blep. Nice. And they're only $179 as opposed to the SMB7s, which is very expensive. It is, well, not really, you know, it's like the Heils. It's about $400. So I saved a little money and, here we are. We're here to, we're here to make it work. Anyway, we got a lot to talk about today. Let's get straight to it. I screwed up the name of the vegan place that my daughter and wife went to. We got corrected by numerous sources, including Carter, who told me it's, the real name, but also we got this in: Dear Scott, I think you mean Buds. In downtown Salt Lake City for vegan sandies. They have the best vegan sandies, and they're very cheap. It's mainly a meat eater crowd at this point.
Wow.
XO Steph, your resident SLC vegan slut. Goodness. Wow. Self-identified sluttage.
Jeez. Wow. No kidding. So look at that. So it has attracted like a majority meat eater crowd at this place. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty cool. And the name Buds, I mean, you wouldn't see that and go, hey, it's Buds, but I guess Buds also could be like plants, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, yeah.
Like a budding young thing.
Very clever.
Yeah. Yep. It's very clever. Anyway, thank you for the correction. Yes, it is Buds. So if you're in town and you're like, man, we need a quick sandwich, I want to go vegan, apparently this stuff is the bomb.
Nice.
Which brings us to another food thing. The theory about the fake baby in the Olive Garden. All right, so we got a thought here that may or may not hold water. I don't know. I like to explore these potential answers to that quandary. Here's what this person says. We didn't get a name on this text. Good morning, Squirt. Listening to the show, IRT? Olive Garden. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, in regard to.
Oh, in regards to. Regards?
Regards. In regards to.
Okay. It's never a single regard. It's always regards.
Give them my regards. No, like regarding. Do you ever say
regards?
Something regard.
Regard. Regard.
I hold them in high regard.
Oh, all right. There you go.
So then you'll do a singular.
Okay. We got plenty of uses out of that word. That's good.
We did. To the point where now it doesn't sound right. The word just doesn't make any sense. Regard?
I do that all the time. Some words just don't.
You say a word so many times that it loses all meaning.
Yeah, I hate that. Anyway, it says here, as a kid, I had a single mom working at Denny's. My sister and I often hung out at the restaurant. Sometimes it was because the sitter had an appointment or because something, or she would drop us off at the restaurant. We would just stay busy in a booth until she came back. Since all the staff knew us, it wasn't seen as abandonment, but rather a safe spot where everybody keeping an eye on us was happening. Just a thought from a different perspective. Totally possible, but it doesn't answer the question about the freaking fake baby.
No, and I want to bring that up. Like, is it possible that it was just a stiff live baby?
No, I'm 100% sure it was fake because we got a good enough look at it finally that it was
just
like
a swole live baby that just came off of some CrossFit and was, you know, I just can't move, my muscles are so sore.
Yeah, I've been lifting tires all day. Right. No, it's definitely definitely a fake baby. That part, no one's had a good answer for me yet. I still find this perplexing.
No, and that's probably, you know, what's the is it Occam's razor? And what's the thing where you basically you take out all of the ridiculous and far-fetched ideas, and the last one remaining is probably the right one, which is just basically that this woman cares for a fake baby and loves it and needs it and that sort of thing.
That's entirely possible. And it's Occam's razor, right? I think that's it.
Is it Occam's razor?
I think so. Okay. I think you were right the first time. So it goes, Yeah.
I thought Occam's, what's the one that's, Sword of Damocles is damned if you do, damned if you don't, right? Both sides are sharp, so it just doesn't matter which.
Yeah, and Occam's razor is the simplest
explanation is probably the
correct one or something.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going with that. That's going to be it. That's going to be the thing until somebody can prove me otherwise. That's going to be where I land. Yeah. No conspiracies, no weird ideas, no more, you know. I'm not going to assume anything about these people's lives. She just really into that doll, and it's there.
Right, yeah.
Good
enough. But I doubt that it's that she had a 20-minute shift at Olive Garden, and she decided to leave her child while she served the tour of Italy for 20 minutes and then came back.
Entirely. Oh, you know what? No, now, hold on. Let's say she works there. Here we go. New theory just popped additional information here. If she's there, and let's say she works there.
Sure.
Her daughter's in the booth playing around and drawing and stuff.
Yeah.
The fake baby is the daughter's, who insists that we bring her in a car seat.
Sure. But the fake baby got no attention from the daughter while she was alone.
That's like true. None. Zero.
The only person who gave attention to the fake baby was the mom.
Right. We can only assume she's the mom because we don't actually know, but we assume so. Right. She looked old enough to be her mom.
Yeah.
So that kind of falls apart. Why would she fiddle with the baby and the daughter could care less? So I was thinking that the 20 minutes would be explained because she's in the back talking to her manager about the schedule, or, you know, she's not actually working that night. She's just there. Got to talk to my manager because he needs me on Wednesdays and I can't do that anymore. So, see, this is me going completely opposite of Occam's razor and instead going to Occam's shaver. This is Occam's shaver.
Occam's clippers.
Yeah. Occam's clippers means every possibility is true. And that is not what we want.
Occam's epilady.
I really like that. Not just because it's show title bait, because it's good. It's perfect for the description.
I never do show title bait. I'll have you know.
Oh, never. No, they're all just good. They're just, you know, they're natural.
Yeah, that's just the shit that falls out of my brain, whether or not.
That's right.
You know, who's the music? Like one of the punk rockers said, how do you come up with such great melodies? We just puke on the page and pull off the meat, basically, is what it is.
Gross.
Yeah.
I don't like the sound of that at all. there's that. Thank you for that. And then one quick reminder, or final reminder about, because I think we're almost out. Yeah, we are nearing the final availability on this. If you want to grab the 4-print zombie pack that I have up on the Frog Pants store, all artwork by me, signed by me, hand signed, that is, not digital. These are 5x5-inch full color, hand signed, limited edition prints.
5x5.
And features a bunch of fun stuff. $9.99 is all. No shipping cost to you, dear listener. It will be free to you. And you can get it still up on the site, frogpants.com/store. I think today they'll run out. So if you did not get yours and want them, now's your time.
Cool.
Okay. We're going to get right to Tadpooly Feud today.
Yeah. Love it. Let's get right to the...
Why not?
Right to the heart of the matter.
Yep. We'll see if Dunaway can be... besmirched, or if he'll win, if he'll be victorious.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know.
Will he be smirched or unsmirched?
Yeah.
Find out
on an upcoming episode of This Button I'm Pushing.
The Smirchening.
Smirch. Well, looky here. We got Brian Dunaway with us. Hi, Brian. How are you?
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian. Happy humping day. Oh, no, I think it's just hump day. I think it'll... You don't want to turn that into a verb, I guess. Yeah. Mm. Happy hump day.
Happy hobo humping slobo babe day.
slow bang, is that what you said?
No, it's the song. Hump, you hobo humping slobo babe, get up.
We don't listen to the same music, my friend. I don't know what you're singing
now. You listen to that in the 90s we all did.
What is it? What was it? What was it?
Hump, slow,
Whale,
humpin'.
Sung is by Whale. You hobo humping slobo.
What the hell is Whale?
Now. You've heard that song.
I have not heard this.
You have, but you... Here, I'm going to play it.
You've
taste.
Blocked it out.
Humping, what is it? Whale is the band?
Whale is the band.
Give it to me.
Here, I'll give you just a taste. Yeah, here it is. The song is literally called Hobo Humpin' Slobo Babe.
Yeah.
And I'm going to pause the YouTube video so that I don't get dinged on this later. All right, here, I'll play a little bit of it, Brian.
I certainly recognize the style of the time. Never heard of it. Or if I did hear it, I went, nope, and kept on going.
I'm surprised by that. I'm telling you,
I'm usually a popular culture connoisseur, but not that. That's too suer for me.
Too suer.
I like to stay on the con side. Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Fair enough. I say. Well, good. It's good to have you here. We're going to play a game. Oh, I should add the listener to the thing. Let's see here. Who has pinged us to be part of today's? Oh, we got a new person at number three.
Yay!
Let's try this.
New person.
Hold on. How do you say their name? It is. There it is. Someone named DJ Axis.
Oh, I want to know when. Yeah.
I want to know when the lobby's going to open.
The lobby.
Long time tadpooler or long time chatter.
Yeah.
First time caller, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard him on a call.
First time cholera. Love it.
I was logged into the game and now
that's
I'm
what they
not.
Said in the Dark Ages, right? Hey, long time listener, first time caller.
Yeah. For some reason it's just ringing, so we might have to go with our
DJ Axes. You got answer. You can't play if you don't answer the phone.
Probably trying to spin up that whale.
Oh yeah.
Probably too busy listening to that song.
What happened to them? They're not doing anything now, right?
No, I don't think they did anything the year after they released that song.
There we go. There
we got ourselves a DJ Axes.
DJ Axes, what's going on? Welcome to the show.
Hey, not much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're happy to have you. You're a first timer on the contest, right? I don't think we've heard you before, have we?
I think on a contest, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. You've been around, though, in the community a ton.
I've seen you in the community
a few times. I did win a copy of Mad Max Fury Road. We can reset.
I'm sorry.
And had not seen it. And then
How much did Second and Charles give you for it?
What?
What did you end up watching it, though, now that you won it?
I did end up watching it and wrote back in with a film sec style review. So it was a nice flick, you know?
Yeah, it is.
Oh,
the nicest.
DJ Axis. That's amazing. So we call you DJ Axis? Can I call you DJ for short?
Trey is fine.
Oh, I like Trey. Trey. All right.
I can call you Whack. Okay, Trey. Trey's better. Okay.
Trey, are you liking Scramble Coin anymore? Any better now in Dreamlight Valley? Is it
a little bit more? I stopped trying to play it with a controller. That was the big difference there.
Yeah, that you've got to go touch screen with the Scramble Coin for sure.
Cool. Oh, they have a mini game that's hard to play.
Yeah, it's almost like chess, but you pick. So like imagine you started a chess game and you and your opponent each picked five pieces from the collection of chess pieces.
Sure.
And those were the only pieces you got to have on the board. But you could.
I want all queens. Go ahead.
Well, you could only have one queen is the problem. So instead of chess pieces, they're Disney characters, but they have unique moves like Wally can go straight across the board and pick up all the coins that he gets, and they randomly drop coins on the board. So you want to pick the right character that can get do the most coin damage.
Oh, I like that. Okay.
That would be a fun game on its own, even just as an iOS game, I think, but it's cool.
Nice.
Do you get to like play as the queen, the red queen?
Not the Red Queen, but you could be Queen Ursula, the Maleficent,
Ursula.
I think.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you could be Ursula, too. Was she a queen or was she just
No, she wasn't a queen. She was just a witch under the sea that was all like, give me your voice.
Yeah, sea witch. There we go. That's right. Yeah.
Sea witch.
But Maleficent is in there, and then she was a queen at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah, when she actually killed the king.
By the way, my wife has an aunt who is the spitting image of Ursula. Just the spitting image.
Really?
Oh my
right
God.
Down to the tentacles?
I know, tentacles and all?
I will not name her because I do not want to get in trouble as this is
Your
streaming
uncle
on Facebook.
Is a poor, unfortunate soul. I'll say that.
Poor, unfortunate soul.
Anyway, well, this is good. Let's do this thing. And we're logged in, but there's no board yet. I don't know if that's something
refresh,
I did.
I
don't know.
I'll bet that's me. I just
need to refresh.
There we go. Yep, there it is.
Working now.
Cool. Okay. Well, if you guys are ready, I'm ready. Oh, should I tell? Let me tell you how this game is played because we never even did that.
Sure.
Welcome to Tadpooly Fuel, blah, blah, blah. Survey the Tadpool on some nerdy topics. Scott and Brian have to predict the answers that they gave us. Scott and Brian's job to see how many of those answers they can guess. Trey, your job is more important than ever because you're going to be working with either Scott or Brian. If your team wins, you will get a prize package that includes the aforementioned free comic book day prints signed by Scott and Carter. I'm going to give you your choice of any two of these, but you know, you've got Captain America, MODOK. Oh, I might keep that MODOK. Yeah, just kidding. You've got Mr. Freeze, Batgirl.
Oh, I love her Mr. Freeze. It's one of my favorites.
Her Mr. Freeze is fantastic. Yeah, that is like that such one. A great one.
So good.
Mr. Fantastic is in here. I don't know. This is neither of your artworks, but it's a signed. It's by the Munchkin guy. It's like the
John Kowalik.
Yeah, the Infinity.
Oh, John K.
I love John K. He's great. I was just talking to him. The best. That's funny.
So John K. is a great guy.
So the person that donated these must collect them because we both do this sort of thing every comic book day. She must be collecting all those.
So.
And now she's dumping them all because we don't know why. We don't know why.
Hey, can I ask a question? Can I ask one of those stupid office questions people ask? Because you guys probably don't get a lot of office dialogue. So did you guys plan on wearing the same shirt today?
No, we didn't.
Wednesdays, we wear maroon. Shut up.
We did not have any idea. There was no pre-planning.
Office humor.
Tomorrow,
my favorite.
We'll wear pink.
Yeah. We just got lucky, man. That's it.
Are you working? Are you working hard or you're hardly working?
This is the official TMS uniform, and yours is in the mail for Mondays and Wednesdays. Yeah.
It's all a bunch of red shirts.
Watch for that.
Scott and I are maroon 2 today. We're looking for the other 3.
Wow.
I know. In round 5.
All right. Well, this is exciting.
Okay. Let's get to this. Put your hands on your buzzards and prepare to answer this question. We asked 453 tadpoolers, who or what is your favorite live? Really? Okay. Go ahead.
I'm going to go with Metallica.
All right. Show me Metallica. You know, it's really, you're going to laugh when you hear the question because it's actually kind of funny.
Good answer.
I'll repeat the question for Scott, who just has to name anything. Who or what is your favorite live action movie robot?
Oh.
Oh, nice.
It's nothing like music.
Many of them are Metallica.
Metallica.
I'm sorry. Can you say the last part again? It's a robot from TV or movie?
Live action movie robot.
Movie robot. Okay.
Movie robot. Live action movie robot.
Movie robot.
So not Wall-E, because that would be animated, Scott. So pick a live action robot.
Right. Oh, I'm hanging up here because my brain just went 400 different ways. I'll just say R2-D2 because I don't.
Yeah, I mean, all you have to do is pick one. As long as what you pick is on the board, you'll get it.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. I'm nervous about droids, but yeah, let's say R2.
Show me your little bucket of bolts, R2-D2.
Oh, number one
answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Safe business there. All right. Once again, it just matters what the tadpool says. It doesn't matter what's right or wrong.
Wally's definitely up there then.
All right. Well, it's me and Trey then. Let's do this,
you and Trey.
Let's
see how you do with this.
Do you have one that pops up in your head?
One that's kind of a weird choice is RoboCop, because I'm not sure.
Oh, no, that's a good one.
A robot or a cop in this?
It's in his name. He's a robot.
Yeah, he's more robot than cop for sure.
BB-8 is a safe one to go with first off.
Okay, let's do BB-8 then. I like that. Right. We'll hold on to RoboCop as a test. There is a possibility.
Yeah. Show me BB-8. Yeah, 5 points for that one. Number 5 answer on the board, BB-8.
I'll admit, I've kind of forgotten about BB-8. He rolled in and rolled right out of my life, just like that.
Mm.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I've got the Sphero little remote control BB-8. Oh, I have not gotten that thing out to see how the new cat reacts to it. But Inara was fascinated with the thing.
What happened to the last cat? Would you roll over with the BB-8?
Yeah, no, Inara still like she was fascinated or is fascinated with it, but we haven't had it out for a while.
That's what she said.
I think it was crazy that thing worked so well. That thing shouldn't have worked as well as it did.
So well, yeah.
One of the better things about those movies. All right. I really liked your RoboCop thing. I'm torn between that and Terminator, but let's do RoboCop. He is more Robo than cop, so let's do that.
Okay. Show me RoboCop.
Oh, come on, you guys! Really?
Number 11. Literally, just outside the... if one more person would have said it, then you would have had points for that one.
I'm blown away by that. All right, fine. Brian,
breaks. Right. Brian, you get some choices here, some chance to some a little.
I'm going with the tadpole is old like me, and they liked the one that was in all the TV shows. But I'm Lost in Space is the primary one. Danger, Will Robinson.
Yeah. What's his name?
It's not Robbie. Is his name Robbie? The robot.
You'll have to tell us.
He was in everything.
I think you're mixing up two different robots.
Yeah,
I think so.
I can see what you're thinking of, and I have the name in my brain.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So, what do you want to say? Do you want to say Robbie? Do you want to say
Warning?
Warning. Well, now that you've Lost in Space, what do you want to say?
Well, now that you've said it like that, I definitely go on with Robbie.
Okay. Really? All right. I didn't think I was leading you one direction or another.
Oh no! So now I feel bad. I'm going back on my initial answer. Then I'm going to go with. What is this dang name? Why am I blanking on it?
The name of the robot from Lost in Space was B9.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
B9.
Tumor. He was B9.
Yeah. He was B9.
B9. Yeah. Give me B9.
All right. Show me B9.
Yeah.
That was number 12. You guys have picked the two that just slightly didn't make the cut into the top.
All right.
Top 10.
It just hit me because you're saying B9 and it reminded me of B4, which reminded me of Data. I feel like Data's. Oh. If we don't put Data on here, we're stupid. What do you think, Trey?
I think that's falling into the RoboCop territory of where it's such a gray area, gray like robots.
True, true. What do you think the tadpole would do though? A bunch of Trek heads in there, you know.
That is also fair, but I thought they were gonna like playing the RoboCop angle was the tadpole answer. Yeah. I think we could stay safe and go with another Star Wars.
All right.
There's a C-3PO that hasn't shown up yet.
Oh, yeah, let's do 3PO. Yeah. He's fastidious and ready to roll. Let's do it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Fastidious. Show me. Oh, curse my bucket of bolts. And C-3PO, number 4 on the...
good call.
Smart.
Curse my shiny metal body.
I should have went that. Of course, all the Star Wars.
Curse my red arm that was only put there so Mattel could sell more toys.
Yeah. And that weird silver leg or whatever it was.
Right, exactly.
I loved that one. Okay, where are we here? What else do we have?
10 points. You guys leading currently with 10 points. And, I never did. Actually, I should say, there we go.
I feel like Trey has the number here.
I'm still stuck on who the hell Robbie the Robot is.
And keep in mind, I guess you already said it. It's just movies, no TV, right?
It's whatever the tadpole says.
Okay.
That's the thing with a little tricky there. Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's whatever the tadpole says.
Okay.
Is a Transformer a robot?
They're
robots in disguise.
In disguise.
Yeah, robots
right
in
there
disguise.
Right there in their elevator pitch.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, is that too broad, Brian, for us to say that, or do we need to come up with a specific named robot?
Starscream.
Shut up.
pick the one that was a boombox. I will require you to say the Transformer you would like to guess.
All right. So there was two on this list somewhere then.
Well, I think I think that means there's at least one.
I would think Bumblebee is probably.
Oh yeah.
Why am I answering? Because he had a movie specifically.
Yeah. Why are you answering, Dunaway? You don't want to be. You're going to help Trey win. I mean, I know you want
him
to win.
That's a bad answer. Don't use that one. Use something better, like the robot from Riptide. Come on.
which one's John from Core's favorite Transformer?
Oh, he loves. Oh, I forgot the name. The blue one with the laser arm, and he's always in the ship, and he doesn't actually have a car form or a ship form. He's
God, you people.
I'm just getting you in trouble on core later.
That's what that is. That'll be fun. I look forward to that. Remember.
I think Bumblebee is who I would lock
all right.
with.
Bumblebee, let's do it.
Cool. All right. Show me Bumblebee. Number 13 in the list.
Oh my gosh, look at us at the top of the list.
You guys have like picked four of the first five answers that did not make the top 10.
Nice.
Damn it. All right, Brian, cheers now. What are you doing there?
I'm going with Scooter from the GoBot. No, I'm kidding.
Shockwave. Shockwave,
Scott
sorry.
Loves it when I say, Scott loves when I talk about GoBots.
GoBots are the best. They never had a movie, did they?
Yeah. You didn't see the GoBots movie?
There was not a Go. It didn't end up in theaters. It wasn't like a theater movie. Was it?
Sounds like a Kroger bargain bin DVD.
Yes, it does not sound like a thing I could go down to my Megaplex and watch in 1983. Okay? That's all I'm saying.
Well, my favorite growing up was always trying to stay alive. So I'm going to go with Johnny Five.
Ooh,
stay alive.
Johnny Five. Let's play the barge and ask who's Johnny. All right, show me Johnny Five.
Oh, my China.
Yeah. Good job. Well done. What's the number was that? Number two? Jeez.
Number two. Not good points, but it's there.
It means you get to pick again.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with the obvious. Everybody's favorite Transformer is going to tell the Autobots to roll out. I'm going to go with the big guy, the Optimus Primo.
All right.
Better be Primo or we're giving you a buzz.
Okay.
The card says
they're always exact answers. All right, show me Optimus Prime. Brian takes the lead. That was the number 10 answer.
Big points, baby.
Shit.
Wow. I'm still confused about Robbie the Robot versus the Robot. I thought it was the same guy. They had that same robot like in everything.
They looked very, very, like they might have even been the same model.
I guarantee you it's the same reused shit. I'm sure they had like 12 of them.
That bulbous, sort of. No, not really. Like you look at, they both had the weird vent arms, the vent pipe, accordion style arms, but their heads were totally different.
Like, it was a real early '60s design aesthetic on those.
Robbie
things.
Had kind of the big dome, glass dome, while B9 had a donut shape.
Which one had all the twirlies on his head? That was Robbie, right? Had all the like.
They actually both had twirlies.
Did they? Okay.
Yeah. They had little sensors that were going bleep bleep. Radar. Yeah.
And I think they both kind of sounded like this.
You can buy a B9 robot from Hummacher Schlemmer for $24,500.
Oh, that's nothing. Let's go ahead dig deep and get that.
Exactly.
Small loan.
Comes with a free Apple Vision Pro, I believe.
Good gosh. Better come with two of them. Holy shit.
Right.
All right.
Get another robot. I'm going to go with Captain Pike. No, I'm kidding.
Rude.
Yeah, kidding. Jeez.
Too soon. Too soon, man. Too soon.
Too soon. Oh my gosh. I'm trying to remember. I'm going to go with wasn't this K-9, the Battlestar Galactica robot, the little dog? I loved him so much. He was like my favorite.
Was it K-9? Because the kid's name was Boxy, and then the
Boxy.
Dog.
Come on, right?
Now. Right.
Or Boxy was the name of the robot.
It's also a TV show, by the way.
Oh, you're right. Thanks, Scott, for helping me.
Yeah.
I'm backing off that then. I'm going to go with. I just feel like people are stupid and they said Iron Giant. I don't know why. I feel like Iron Giant.
That's not stupid. That's nice. I like that movie.
But that's not live action.
I agree with you on this one. So.
Yeah, you're right about. Oh, you mean. I see what you mean because it's animated. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. They are stupid.
Iron Giant for the big points. I feel like it felt like at 8 or 9.
They're very, very stupid, whoever did this one.
All right. Show me Iron Giant.
Son of a butthole.
despite the fact that it was animated, that was number 16 on the on the list.
I'm not used to us being so clustered at the top.
I know. This is 10. Really funny that, like, you know, again, now you'd have had five of the six that didn't make the top 10.
All right.
Right.
I'm going to bet you money that I have to think there's a Terminator on here, dude. What do you think,
that's a good one.
Trey? Do you think so or
RoboCop
no?
RoboCop wasn't there. Surely the Terminator is.
Well, we didn't do RoboCop. We ended up with the... Oh, no, we did. Didn't we? Okay.
Yeah, RoboCop, we did RoboCop. 11. RoboCop was 11.
It was 11.
That's right.
You guys only have one more strike, by the way. This is...
This is do or die.
It's a two-point game. You guys have barely both made it into double digits.
This is really kind of weird.
Bicentennial Man.
Oh, my Lord, dude.
Bicentennial Man.
That's not an answer.
It's not an answer.
Don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
I just wanted to remind everybody about that.
Yeah, thank you for that. I kind of tried to forget.
Never forget Bicentennial Man.
I think the T-1000 is...
I think that's a good answer.
All right. Let's do a Terminator. I don't know if we can be that vague or if we have to get model specific.
You can be that vague.
Well, that might be bad.
Show me Terminator.
Oh.
Yeah, there you go. Number nine.
Okay.
Number nine. Oh, look at that. You're still alive. Yep. Yeah. Number nine is alive.
I saw a picture with Robert Patrick and the kid who played young John Connor. What was his name? Mm-hmm. That kid actor in two.
Yeah, it was Edward Furlong.
Edward Furlong, and they were having lunch together. So the whole joke was like, oh, here's John Connor and the T-1000 having lunch. Those two looked like they were on a crime spree across the country. They look like they've already killed 12 people, and you know they're about to take down a Denny's. It was the weirdest photo. You guys got to see it. Anyway, all right, Trey, anything popping there for you, there, sir? Good, sir.
I'm thinking the battle droids, the BD-1 droids from Star Wars, but
those are sweet.
I think that's getting a little too like favorite. Is that really your favorite droid?
Right.
Or favorite robot? So I'm open to any other ideas because I've gotten his two strikes so far. So I'm clearly doing well.
What was the one in Rogue One? What's the name of that thing?
That is K2SO. That is a live action.
There you go. Yeah, that's live action, and he's an awesome Andy Tudyk voiced character. It always reminds me of Queso. Andy Tudyk, Alan Tudyk. I always say Andy Tudyk. I don't know why I do that.
Tudyk.
Andy's wrong. Anyway, let's do that.
Okay.
I like that.
All right. Show me K2SO. Yeah, number three. Very popular.
Good points.
That's the best Star Wars movie since Empire, in my opinion.
And the Black Series K2SO is heavy and metal. Like this thing is, super weighted.
Hold that up again. Look at that, dude.
Yeah,
I think that's all the popular robots from Star Wars that I can think of.
Yep, you're all out of robots, dude.
I'm all out of robots. I'm so lost without you.
Yep. Did you make
K2SO? The mouse droid. Maybe? No, not the mouse droid. That's my personal favorite.
Oh,
that is a good one, right?
I've got the mouse droid popcorn bucket in my office.
Why hasn't Roomba? It's so much better than the Dune popcorn bucket. Why hasn't somebody made, like, Roomba needs to make the mouse robot vacuum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when it sees you in the hall, it goes beep, 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 and then runs and the other way.
Bleep.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Beep, 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 beep.
All right. What do you say?
Three more answers on the board. 6, 7, and 8.
Yeah.
I've been seeing Marvin the Paranoid Android.
Dang it.
Pop up.
Oh, Marvin. Marvin's good. Marvin's good.
Yeah. Okay, do it. Do Marvin because
that was a high point of that film.
Every time I've ever used Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, every time I ever use it on this game, I never get anything.
So that's how I feel about it, too.
To your Marvin.
All right, we're doing Marvin. Right.
Okay. Show me Marvin.
Yeah.
Son of a butthole, we finally got some Hitchhiker's love.
That's right, exactly.
Son of a butthole.
Oh, well.
Oh, he was good. One of the great...
Oh, yeah, so good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And when they came out with the movie, or even with the TV show, not at all what I pictured listening to the radio series. Like, we all had a different vision of what Marvin looked like
than
what they did.
I love their design, though. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Are you still kind of down on the idea of Data? I don't know why that one's
beep, beep, beep.
I don't know why I'm so sure of that.
He's not technically a robot though, but whatever, it doesn't matter.
He's an android.
We've won. We can say whatever we want. We can say Bicentennial Man.
You have exactly. You guys there is no way to lose at this point. So
oh, look at you guys.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. I like that.
Say whatever you want.
I think we should say Data just because I think it's there, but also who cares? Yeah. Let's do it.
I agree. It's very, very tadpole to say anything Star Trek.
Yeah,
so.
I agree.
All right. Show me Data.
Oh, yeah. Damn it.
Data number 15 in the, in the tadpole list.
You know what I secretly hope is that Gigolo Joe's on here. Oh, you still have a strike, Brian. Go ahead. Sorry.
That's yeah, right. I know.
Still,
so,
have exactly one last guess.
But run the
pump your brakes, yeah. Johnson.
Yeah.
You could. There's nothing you can do to win, Brian, but you could.
I could be part of the win. I could be part of the win.
Right? Exactly. Yeah, oh, you could run like the board, but even if you get both of them, it's still not enough points. But running the board always wins the prize for the player anyway. So
yeah.
I've got two masters. One is saying I want to be part of the winning team, and the other is saying that I really want to get my Riptide love in and make sure everybody remembers that there's an orange robot with an egg-shaped head on Riptide. And that's what I'm going for.
And it's shit.
Way to throw away guess. What was that robot's name, by the way? Do you remember?
I'm trying to remember. I don't remember they call him anything other than robot.
They call them Lil Rippy.
Was it R.O. I can't remember now. That's a really good. Now I feel bad.
Tiny. Mm-hmm. They called him Rips. Rips Jr. I don't know.
Yeah.
What it was. Yeah.
They called him Rip 2.
Rip 2. Rip Torn.
All right.
But what are you going to do?
Yeah.
But
I mean, show me the robot from the TV show Riptide.
I know it's a TV show as well. I know that. But I will never not take an opportunity to get some Riptide love.
Yeah, why not? Why not? Problem. You were going to lose anyway, so that's fine.
You were going to lose anyway, and why not go out swinging for the fences?
Sure.
All right. Well, let's congratulations first to Trey. You've won these prints, and you and I can chat via instant message here in Discord to let me know which one of these you want, because there's a bunch here to choose from. Nice. Let's talk about what you didn't get. Number 7, and we've gotten live action. I don't think we've gotten movie. On Chopper, the robot from Rebels, makes an appearance in Ahsoka, but not in any of the movies, as far as I'm concerned.
Chopper's great.
Rebels. Yeah. I gotcha. Yep.
Yeah. Not a movie. That's why I stuck away from it.
Yeah.
So our favorite war criminal.
Yeah, he's
awesome.
That's
right. Right. Number 8, Brian. Robbie the Robot.
You mother.
You danced around that one so much.
Please tell me somebody voted for Bishop from Aliens. He needs to be on here.
Yeah. Well, let's give you some of the ones that you missed. Number 14 was the only one out of the top, almost out of the toll top 20 that you guys didn't get. Chappie, number 14. Tars. Tars from Interstellar,
yep.
IG-11 and IG-88 from Empire Strikes Back and Mandalorian.
Right.
Little dual love there because a lot of people put both. Silly people. Number 20, Andrew Martin, the Robin Williams robot from Bicentennial Man.
Oh, that's great.
Made it that high in the list. Baymax, Ed 209. Sunny
Baymax
from iRobot.
Not live action, just saying.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Sunny from iRobot's great. Another Alan Tudyk role.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, putting him on the list here twice.
Yeah.
Roy Batty, great robot. Rutger Hauer robot replica.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
Psycho, the sex robot that Pauly gives Sylvester Stallone in Rocky IV.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. So not Cherry 2000 then.
Not Cherry 2000. Okay. It didn't stop people from putting Wally, made it number 26 on the list. Bender, not live action.
And not a movie. Well, they did have some movies.
The direct-to-Fox movies, yeah, sure. Okay. General Grievous, Gort, HAL 9000.
Oh, Gort,
The Earth Stood Still, Klaatu Barada Nikto.
Yeah.
L337 from Solo, the TARDIS. Somebody said that's a robot. It's funny that the TARDIS scored higher than K-9. K-9 being the robot, Doctor Who's
right?
Robot, not the robot from Battlestar Galactica, or Buck Rogers
I know,
or Battlestar
I knew.
Galactica.
Yeah. No, Twiggy?
Twiggy's.
Twiggy, the next one, number 35.
Really?
Twiggy from Buck Rogers, yeah. Forlom, Adam from Real Steel. Really? That's somebody's favorite robot.
Mm.
Charles from Brian and Charles. Agreed. That's a great one.
Oh,
right there.
I love that movie so much.
Dot Matrix. Gigolo Joe from AI, right? That's the Jude Law character.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Good Robot Usses from Bill and Ted. Great choice there.
Sure.
Hellboy, is Hellboy a robot?
No, he is not.
Yeah, what's somebody writing Hellboy? That's kind of crazy. Jazz close. Making the top, well, not even the top 50, really. Let's see here. Pacific Rim, Pit Droids. People love the Pit Droids from Phantom Menace.
Pacific Rim, that doesn't work. Those aren't autonomous. People are in them.
Right, they're mechs. They're not robots. Yeah. Seven of Nine. Okay, sure.
She show up in one of the movies maybe as a cameo or something. I don't know.
And Vision, and then I think my favorite answer right here, Steven Seagal.
Nice.
Well done. Nice.
So Data's no not on this at all. No Data at all on this list.
No, Data was number 15.
Oh, okay, he did say Data.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
No day. Oh, and no Metallica though.
We're no still- Metallica.
Metallica was not on the list. Never made it anywhere in the list.
That was an amazing answer, early answer that you gave.
Yes, it was. Especially considering the subject. It was great.
Well, as Brian said, Trey, you're going to get a message from him. He'll get you your stuff. You'll give him your info. It'll be a perfectly easy and fantastic little exchange of ideas. And having you on here was a treat. I can't wait to see you for Core's live show on Thursday. Bye now. Yeah. Hey. Brian, here's a quick thing. I got onto your Unreal 99 server last night, and I was hopped in with a bunch of bots, and a few people popped in later, and I wrecked their souls, and they left because I don't think they were having a good time. So
because they thought you was a bot.
They must have.
You're that good.
I was that good. It was fun though, because even though we had nothing scheduled, that's the nice thing about that server. There's always going to be some smart, adept bots in there that will give you a good time. And I had a great time. So keep that thing up forever is all I'm saying. Never let it go. All right.
It's going to stay up. RetroGib.com. And we're looking at the 2004 Unreal as well to see if we can set that one up. I don't know. We're still looking at it.
Yeah. You know but what you ought to I'm do? Gonna... This whole RetroGib.com, you could put Quake 3 shit up there. You could put Tribes. By the way, there's a Tribes 3 demo up on Steam. Yes. I didn't even know they were making that shit. I'm so excited. Yes. I played it like for about 10 matches yesterday.
Oh, you played the demo? I haven't played the demo yet.
It's very good. It is Tribes the way you remember Tribes. It's fantastic. And I cannot wait for more of that. Yeah. Except I'm sure it'll be go ahead.
I'm going to be on the server after our episode of Play Retro on Friday, which is going to be Superman 64, by the way. Not the real title of it. It's Superman 64. It's called something else. Anyway, we're going to be doing that. And then afterwards, I'm going to hop on and play some more Unreal Tournament. If Scott wants to join in, that'd be great.
I'll be there. You don't.
Yeah, I installed it, got it, played it, played against the bots. Did not realize I could hop into the server and play against bots there. That's cool.
Yes.
Yeah. And then people can drop in, drop out.
Show up. Cool.
And we'll be in there a lot more. I had so much fun in there. It about killed me. I ended up, because of you, or because of this whole thing, I ended up installing Unreal 3. I ended up playing a bunch of that. I reinstalled 2004. That thing won't even let me do widescreen support. I gotta figure that shit out.
There's a patch, I think, that there's some patches. I'm researching it.
All right, you let me know what you find, and we'll deal with it. Until then, kiss our butts. All right, he's out. Coming up after this break, we're going to talk to Tom Merritt, who will give us a little tech info, and then we'll have some recommendals with Randy. Nicole's out today, had an appointment, but Randy will be here. Let's throw it over to Brian, who'll tell us what song we're going to listen to.
Yeah, let's rock. Let's rock with this one right here. This is a band called Savak, S-A-V-A-K. They are made up of members. It's a supergroup made up from members of the Obits, the Cops, and Holy F, but it's spelled out with all the letters that go with that. Mm. This is their brand new single, a nice little play on the Who song. This is called We'll Get Fooled Again. This is coming out on their album Flavors of Paradise, which comes out March 1st on Ernest Jennings Recording Company. And they are about to go on tour in the U.S. and France. Here is the band, Savak, and We'll Get Fooled Again.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Mayo. Butter. Toodles. Toodles.
How can you eat anything right now, huh?
And we've returned. Who is that again?
That is the band Savick and the song Will Get Fooled Again. Check out the brand new album coming out March 1st from Savick.
All these Star Trek names today. Savick. Yeah.
That was S-A-V-I-K though, right? This is S-A-V-A-K.
Well, let me think. Was this, we're talking about the Kirstie Alley character in the second movie? Is that who I'm thinking of?
She was Savick.
She was Savick.
I think so.
Yeah, spelled differently.
With an I.
She was very good in that, I thought.
She was, yeah.
All right, let's get Tom in here.
Oh, two A's and Savick. I. Yeah, S-A-A-V-I-K. Yeah.
Oh, those Romulans.
We want Tom!
I guess she was a secret Romulan, or whatever her deal was. Anyway, hey, speaking of secret Romulans, it's Tom Merritt on the line with us. Hi, Tom, good morning.
Good morning. How do I sound to you?
You sound really good.
You sound great.
Yeah.
Okay. You guys are weird coming back from Discord for some reason.
Oh, I don't know.
We are weird. That you've got that right.
Yeah, you got that part right. Are we both sounding odd? Like we're
Even the ring from Discord sounded odd. So it's definitely something.
Well, maybe take off the Apple Vision Pro and we'll sound normal. Okay.
Maybe just put the headset down.
Just take it off for like a few minutes so you can talk to us in the real world.
That's right.
All right, fine. My Apple Vision Pro is virtual, so you couldn't see it.
Oh, I see. Hey, speaking of that thing, you've got one in the household. Have you messed about a bit? And you
know? I did. It's no longer in the household. It's in Sarah Lane's hands now. But we had one over the weekend. We have shared custody, so we get with the Apple Vision Pro. I got to put it on. It was fitted for Eileen, and Eileen set it up, you know, so she could try it for Apple Vision Show. And because of that, I only was able to use the guest mode.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because if I tried to use it under her account, it just didn't work. It was like, You're those aren't her hands. Those aren't her eyes. What are you looking at?
Oh, weird.
It was almost impossible to use. So we put me into guest mode. The thing about guest mode is it's not really a guest profile that you set up for yourself. It's just a guest mode. So every time you do it, you have to set it up from scratch.
Really? So it's not like cars where you can say, give me profile number 2 and it adjusts the chair and review.
I put it on like 3 times and each time I had to be like, all right, pinch the little things. Okay, cool. Mm. One thing I knew this from their demo, but I had kind of forgotten it until I started using it, is you select things with your eyes. Mm-hmm. It knows where you're looking and it highlights where you're looking. Mm. So you don't,
it slightly blurs the things you're not looking at too when it does that.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
So you don't have to reach out and pinch them, which I see a lot of people still doing, and it's perfectly natural. I was doing it too. But I realized after a while, I just need to look, and then when it's selected, I can pinch anywhere. I don't have to lift my hand up because the as long as it's in view, it'll see the pinch. And it's the looking at it that selects it. I found that to be pretty nifty. Nifty being
nifty. I like that.
For something that you spent $3,500 on.
Yeah, that's a high price for some nifty experience. So but do you double blink when you want to open a thing, or how does
you pinch?
Okay, you always so you know so it knows you're looking,
but you can pinch anywhere.
It's like a mouse click, right? Your eye is the pointer that's highlighting the thing, and then your pinch is the like clicking the mouse.
Right.
Yes. It said pinch, Scott, not tweak.
Oh, not tweak. Okay, you don't want to tweak your nipples. So hold on a second. So like if my hands, they need to be within view, or do they?
Yes. Yeah,
they need to be within view. Be anywhere in view. So you could rest them in your lap, and that thing can see.
Okay.
And so you could just, you know, sit there and...
And so typing, I've heard the typing, you really get used to it quickly with the looking at the keys as opposed to the virtual keyboard that sits out in space that you type on, that like getting used to going and looking at the keys as you want to type.
Oh, people are typing really that way, like look and pinch at the letter you want?
Pinch. It is faster than trying to reach out and touch the invisible keys. What I found when I was doing that was if you... I didn't realize I do this, but as I am typing a key, I'm always looking at the next one. Mm-hmm. So
yes, you can't look ahead.
As you're pinching, if you're too far ahead of your pinch, you'll pinch the next key instead of the one that you meant to. So you do have to change how your eyes look at the keyboard.
Yeah.
If you do it that way, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. That's super interesting. I've been curious about it since it hit, watching lots of videos, lots of mixed reactions. More than ever, it feels like we're at a point in that thing's lifespan where it's like, here's the initial thing. And now from here on out, people refine it. Apple refines it. Other competitors start coming into the market. They refine the experience. And before you know it, these are smaller, these are tighter, these make more sense, and you aren't as embarrassed to wear giant ski goggles on a
cheaper
train
too. Cheaper would be a very cheaper would be good.
Which seems like the competition will help with that, but I think even Apple's desire to have it be in more hands will drive that too. So I don't know. I'm curious about the future of this thing. I get in a lot of arguments with people about how there's no market for this. This is like NFTs, but for your head. And I'm like, okay, well, let's compare apples and rocks.
That's a lazy criticism of like, oh, it's something new that is not immediately massively popular. Well, it must be like previous thing that didn't work.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I hate that. Previously completely unrelated thing that didn't work.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But you probably came with other info today instead of just this. I didn't want to completely derail your plans.
That's great. No, yeah. I love talking about that. And if you want to know how Sarah Lane almost bricked our Apple Vision Pro, you should go check out applevisionshow.com. The first official episode went out yesterday. And so Eileen set it up. She used it all weekend. You can find some great videos of that up on youtube.com/dailytechnewsshow. Then Sarah came over, braved the atmospheric river, picked up the Apple Vision Pro, and took it home, set it up. Did not forget her passcode. This is important because there's a lot of stories of people who forgot their passcode who locked up their Apple Vision Pro. She did not forget the passcode, but suddenly it was like, I'm locked up. You have to wait 7 hours again. And she's like, well, no, that passcode just worked like moments ago. So she had to take it into an Apple store and get them to unlock it. The good news out today is that the next operating system update for the Apple Vision Pro will let you reset it yourself instead of having to take it into a store. But that feature doesn't exist right now. So she had to take it in the store. And she tells a great story about, you know, calling them, trying to get on the phone, explaining that, yes, it was bought by my company. It was set up by a co-host. I do a podcast, like all of that stuff.
Yeah.
So it's a good story. You should go check that out.
So when you 7 hour window though of being locked out, that sounds crazy to me.
Well, why, 7 hours.
Yeah. Why seven? Why so long? Because,
Number seven.
this can happen on your iPhone. If you get your passcode wrong too many times, it starts to increase the amount of time between attempts.
Oh, okay.
So I've never done that.
That's a theft prevention mechanism of somebody trying to guess your passcode, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, okay, you definitely haven't known it three times. We're going to make you wait an hour. And then after an hour, we're going to make you wait 3 hours. I don't have the actual intervals memorized, but it's along those lines. It seems like with the Apple Vision Pro, by all reports, it just jumps from, well, that didn't work, to you have to wait 8 hours. maybe because it's so valuable. I don't know.
Wow.
But even with your iPad and your iPhone, you can plug it into a Mac and reset it, or even remotely reset it if it's connected to your account.
Yeah.
And you cannot do that with this current operating system version of the Apple Vision Pro, but they're gonna change that in the next one.
Well, pretty cool stuff, and really enjoy the coverage you guys are doing on that, and also excited about their new show. That's applevisionshow.com. Go check it out. Tom, anything else going on today?
Well, we got you coming up on DTNS to tell us why Microsoft is following on its word.
Mm-hmm.
No one believed them when they said they would go cross-platform. And now it seems like they're actually going cross-platform. What's up with that?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. We're going to talk a bunch about it. It's like I have some very specific theories, and Phil Spencer has now posted a thing on social saying, hey, listen, we've heard you guys' concerns. We're going to fill you in, and I forget the date he gave and time, but he's basically going to do a stream or something and explain to people what the plan is, because the rumors have just gotten out of control. But the basic upshot of it is the rumors and or kind of leaks and some reliable information has come out that they are attempting to put some of their previous exclusives on PlayStation, some stuff on Switch, basically spread around the love. And if they could, they've already said this. They've said this for years. If they could, they'd put Game Pass on everything. That includes competing consoles.
They'd love to, yeah.
Yeah, and the consoles have been the ones that are, you know, Sony's resistant to that, so is Nintendo. But they think the future is in services and the games themselves, the IPs, not in the plastic box you play them on. And I think they're right. Now, the problem with that is that everyone sees this as some kind of weird tribal betrayal, where they're leaving the Xbox faithful to other shores or whatever. I don't think it's quite that simple, and I don't actually think they're going to stop making an Xbox. I just think they're going to, like you said, come through on their original commitment, which was, we want to put our services everywhere. We want Game Pass to be ubiquitous across many devices. That includes your crappy old laptop that does it on the cloud, your handheld device that you bought from another company, or that other awesome state-of-the-art console that Sony makes. We want them everywhere, and it may start with things like, you know, Starfield, probably the first example of this, where it'll end up on PlayStation, and maybe sooner than you think. There's a real meltdown in the Xbox community about this, and today I hope on the show to make some more sense of it, but also calm people down a bit, because I think it's actually a good move. And they're gonna get up, and he'll explain it. It'll make more sense. I'm not saying any of this stuff is perfect, but this Coke versus Pepsi mentality is killing me, and we got to talk about it. So we're going to do it today.
No, Scott. Whatever they do, we should get mad at.
Oh, well, I've had it wrong the whole time. Gosh, dang it. Well,
so true. Yes.
No quarter. It doesn't matter what they do. If they change their mind, let's get mad at them for that.
Yeah, let's do that for sure. But that'll be fun to talk about and dig into today. Yeah, it'll be great. Tom, anything else going on in your life?
Yeah, sure. If you would like to get the full picture on technology news, you need to do four things. One is stay on the morning stream to get Scott and Brian's view and my view on Wednesday. Then get Daily Tech headlines, so you get the 5-minute encapsulation, most important stories of the day. Get Daily Tech News Show, or better yet, Good Day Internet through Patreon, so you get a 30-minute to an hour look at the news of the day to help you understand. And then the last thing, the easiest thing, subscribe to Free Tech Newsletter, freetechnewsletter.com. And once a week, or every day if you want to pay for it, I will give you my personal take on what I think are the most important stories of the day. DTNS is a collaborative effort where my opinion is in there along with Scott's and Sarah's and Justin's and everybody else's. But the newsletter is just me. So you can find that at freetechnewsletter.com.
That sounds great. Tom Merritt, we'll see you a little bit later today. Have a fantastic one. We'll see you next time. Bye now.
See ya.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun talk today.
Yeah,
I'm man, sure. The freaking freak out. It's not even like none of it's even official. It's just like,
right.
People are losing their shit.
Rumored or yeah, right.
Someone in the chat said something interesting. He said, who was it? Said, There it is. The Wraith says, but with no competition, future PlayStations will either be not big jumps in power or have huge jumps in price. Again, I don't think you're going to see... Microsoft's going to keep making the hardware. That isn't the issue. The issue is, where are you going to play this thing? Also, other competition arises. Also, that changes Nintendo's plans. Like, all of this stuff could get real interesting if Microsoft indeed... I mean, if they were just going to dump consoles, I don't... Again, don't think they are. But if they were, I don't think it's as dire as everyone thinks. Let's get into the recommendals portion of today's program. We got to add Brandy to the call to do that properly.
Yes.
And cool. He's incoming now.
Assembling a few free comic book day prints for DGXs who selected his.
Nothing wrong with that. Oh, he made a selection, did he? Fantastic.
Made a selection. Yep.
All right. Let's do this right here.
Well, what do you recommend?
Well, if it isn't Randy Jordan. Hi, Randy.
Good morning, morning stream. I am Randy Jordan, your friendly Team Xbox employee.
Oh, that's right.
I am. You can email me, randyjordan@microsoft.com, and I probably won't reply.
Yeah, you probably will just sit there in your big corporate Hotmail account. It'll just sit there, and that'll be that. It's good to have you here. He's here to give us all the juicy details on what Xbox is doing next. No, just kidding. We're going to talk about things we've seen on streaming services that we like or otherwise think are worth bringing up here on the show. We do it every week. We call it Recommendals, and we're going to start with Brian Ibbett's Recommendal. Brian, you got a clip. You ready to tell us what this is?
Brian and Tina's barreling through the Oscar nominees continues. We've just got a couple left of the Best Picture Oscars. We're seeing Zone of Interest on Thursday night, which I hear is really uplifting.
it's really not.
I know. But as we make our way through the Best Actress and Best Supporting Actress, category, we look at this film, and we'll play a little clip right now.
Here you go.
What?
That. They're raccoon eyes. Have you been swimming?
Yes, yes, I have.
Wow, look at you, swimmer. Okay, wow, what's it been like 30 years since you put on a pair of goggles?
That's right.
How'd it feel?
Great. Came right back to me.
Great exercise at your age. Low impact. Easy on the joints.
Yeah. I want to do it.
Do what?
Cuba to Florida. My swim.
Huh? You're hilarious, sir.
No, I'm not kidding, Bonnie. I'm going to do it.
No, I mean, that's insane. You tried that when you were 28, and you did not make it when you're 28. You're 60.
Yeah, I don't believe in imposed limitations. I don't believe in any limitations. And that's the reason to do it, not the other way around. I started with 20 minutes, then 20 more just to see, and I am up to 4 and 5 hours in the pool.
I don't understand. Are you having like a mental breakdown or something?
My mind has never been clearer.
Well, I know who those people are. One of them was in Taxi Driver, and the other one was in Bugsy.
That's right. Yes, that is the TV show True Detective Ping Pong Edition. fantastic. Now on the Max Network.
Nice.
No, that is NIAID. That is a true story about a swimmer named Diana NIAID, almost palindromic name, and her multiple attempts in the early 2010s to swim from Cuba to Florida. Something that she had tried 30 years earlier and didn't make it because of ocean currents and stuff like that. But she decided to do it again and again and again and again. And this is fascinating and compelling and at times heartbreaking look at Diana's attempts to make that swim unaided. There's a difference between the shark cage aided versions of that swim where you basically swim in a contained square with netting to keep the sharks and the jellyfish and the other creatures away, and then swimming without that. But it's still like a multi-day swim where you can't get on a boat, you can't touch anybody, you can't get any assistance. It's completely unaided, and you have to swim from Cuba to Key West.
So when you do the cage version,
yeah,
I assume there's
people in a boat nearby, they're moving that cage for you?
Yeah, there's always, regardless of which way you do it, there's always people in a boat nearby, okay. Especially, and that's Jodie Foster's role. So Annette Bening plays Diana Nyad, and Jodie Foster plays her best friend, her coach, her supporter, her biggest fan, but easily the most important person in Diana's life that is there by her side through this whole thing. And even during this multi-day swim, is the person on the boat who is always awake and always looking out for her and always making sure that she's okay. And even squeezing gel goo into her mouth as she swims on her back alongside the boat. And sometimes being the only voice of reason in Nyad's life, many times being the only voice of reason. There is a facial jellyfish stings that happen in this movie. There are some amazing anti-shark technology that you see in this film. Riz Ifans, is it? Riz Ifans is in this as well. The lizard and Xenophilius Lovegood in Deathly Hallows is in this as well. Notting Hill, the great roommate in Notting Hill.
But, oh, I love but it's really yeah. It's really a two person show.
It really is. There, you know, it's 90% about Diana and
Bonnie.
Yes.
So and they both got. They both got nominated for Oscars.
Yeah.
They both got nominated for everything. Like, well, for the Golden Globes, they both got nominated for the Screen Actors Guild Awards, and then they both got nominated for the Academy Awards. Well-deserved. Like, this is a movie that I'd say, yeah, looking at the other 10 nominees, at least the ones we've seen, makes sense that Nyad wasn't in the Best Picture running. But after watching this, I feel like both of them are strong contenders for the best actress and best supporting actress.
Okay, interesting. This is on Netflix. That's their deal this year, right? This is their they produce this film, I think.
They produce this film. Yeah, this is distributed by Netflix, produced whatever. But basically, this is going to be on your Netflix for a long time.
In perpetuity, probably.
Yeah. Not that I want you to wait on seeing this. I think it's fantastic. And if you, it's kind of like, I mean, it's a dramatization or it's a biopic. It's not a documentary, but it's done. They integrate some documentary kind of things into it that make it really interesting. Yeah. One of the masks that Diana has to wear in this thing is just... is just bizarre and looks like somewhere between a horror movie franchise and future robot thing.
It's just a silicone mask.
It's a silicone mask.
Silicone face.
But yeah. It looks very Hannibal Lecter.
Yes.
Yes. Semi-transparent Hannibal Lecter silicone mask.
Yeah. Interesting. Do you, Randy, you saw this? You liked it?
Yes, very much. Within minutes of the Oscar nominations coming out, a friend of mine who's a huge filmophile emailed all his friends and he said 2023 was the best year at the movies since 2008. So 15 years, best year. And his first thing was Nyad. You need to watch Nyad.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he must.
I would agree.
Did he sleep during 2015? Because what happened there? I mean, there were some great movies in there.
Like, you know, I would.
The depth of like all 10 of the Best Picture nominees are so good.
Mm-hmm. I would be inclined, you know, that I'm re-looking at the list, I would be inclined to maybe pull out Maestro and put this in its place, Nyad in its place.
Mm. You could probably do it with Past Lives too.
Really? Right? I haven't seen Past Lives yet, but. That's on the list. The premise of it sounds really cool, Past Lives, but anyway, really, really good. Nyad, it's on Netflix, and it's another one of these that is very well, I would say it must be the editing, because it's very well paced to where you're not like, all right, when's something going to happen? Something is always happening that's fascinating and compelling and intriguing, and it's really, really good. And Annette Bening, I think, I won't say she transforms for this role, but the character that she plays feels unlike anything we've ever seen Annette Bening do before.
Really? Interesting. Yeah.
She seems old.
She does.
She is.
Well, she.
It's, she's very old.
We're a long way from the grifters in love with Annette Bening, but she's 65. Yeah.
And the whole point of the movie is that it's a 64-year-old woman trying to do something very, very, very difficult. She should have done it a lot younger.
Yes, exactly. Should not have waited 30 years to do it, but right.
This guy, director made Free Solo. He's The Rescue. This guy's all about the hard physical task movies.
Jimmy Chen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Co-directed by Elizabeth Chai, Vasarely, who is the husband, or I'm sorry, the wife of Jimmy Chin. So they
husband wife deal. I like that.
Husband wife directing team. Let's hope they can stay together to the Oscars.
That's right. That's awesome. All right. Netflix. Yeah, get it now. Watch it. NIAID. Sounds like a government agency, doesn't it? NIAID?
Kind of, yeah. A little bit.
Yeah. That's funny.
We gotta get these documents to NIAID stat.
Not her real name, by the way. Her real name is Diana Sneed, but you find out why NIAID, why she's named NIAID.
Nice. Well, that sounds great. Let's move on to Randy. Randy, you got a clip here. What do you want to do here?
Right before the pandemic, a great filmmaker, one of the greatest filmmakers of all time, made a documentary, and it's about a raconteur. What is a raconteur? That's a person who tells fun stories, a charismatic person, right? Mm-hmm. And that raconteurs tend to be people that are localized, like where I grew up in Texas, we would get a regular video from a guy called the Texas Country Reporter. And sometimes we'd get a video from a guy called Dr. Red Duke. Raconteurs kind of talk about a thing that's, near to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. So you're going to hear the subject of this documentary talking to the filmmaker.
All right, here we go.
Does complaining change anything?
You mean, does it help?
Yeah.
You mean, if I complain about the things I complain about, will they change?
Yeah.
Not so far. I mean, of course, I'm a young woman. I once met a psychiatrist at a party, and I said to him, I cannot think of a more boring job than being a psychiatrist. And he said, you have no idea what it is like to go to school for 14 years and sit all day long and listen to people complain about noise. So apparently, that's what it's like being a psychiatrist in New York. Everywhere else in the country, people are talking about their mother, their husband. No, in New York, noise. They go in. It's like $500. They sit there and they complain about noise.
Wow. I already like whoever this is.
This is Fran Lebowitz, yeah. And the film is called Pretend It's a City. Mm. And it is just Martin Scorsese following Fran Lebowitz around and capturing all of her observations and funny stories about her life in New York City. Fran Lebowitz has been one of those most prominent voices for that city since she moved there, I don't know, 70 years ago or something. Yeah. And she claims to be the first female cab driver ever in New York City. And she just has a rich history. And a lot of it is about the 70s and 80s. The 70s and 80s are really when she kind of made her bones talking about what it's like to be a New Yorker. Mm-hmm. And Martin Scorsese, really good at putting this kind of thing together. It's not only him talking to her. It brings in her appearances on David Letterman and her appearances on like the Alec Baldwin show and so on.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of them at the New York Public Library, and they're looking at this gigantic, like gym-sized map of New York City, a 3D map of New York City. And it's just a really beautiful film.
I want to see this. For those who aren't familiar with her work, I mean, I hear that name and I immediately go, oh yeah, Fran Lebowitz, heard about her all the time, millions of times over. Mm-hmm. Never heard her talk before. Never heard her voice until today.
Oh, that's Annie Leibovitz, was the photographer. Any relation, by the way, to Annie?
No,
I don't think so.
Not that's talked about.
Oh, that'd be interesting if Fran and Annie were
Annie
siblings.
And Franny. Sure, why not?
Yeah, that'd be cool. But her writing is renowned, and I've known the name forever, and I've never heard her voice, and now that sounded really compelling, like someone I want to listen to. I'm gonna go. Yeah, I'm gonna check that out.
And the thing is, in her position as a public speaker, she got to know people like Andy Warhol really well. And so she was, you know, kind of standing alongside all of the great events in this place. And that's the thing about a raconteur, is you kind of find them where the people are, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And she knew all the people, you know, mm-hmm. she knew Gore Vidal, and she knew, James Baldwin, and so on. She has a whole section in the jazz scene when jazz was really on the rise in the 70s. She was close to all the famous jazz musicians. Mm-hmm. And Fran is she's lesbian, but she has some pretty straight relationships back in the day.
Yeah.
And she's just, her angle on everything, it sounds like she's complaining at all times, but you can tell she really, really loves New York and the people and her experiences.
Yeah. Hung out with the New York Dolls, that Robert Andy Mapplethorpe guy with the Mapplethorpe business. That stuff was something. Remember Mapplethorpe? Oh my Lord, that guy's photographs. Holy hell in a basket.
Yeah. Is it Mapplethorpe or is it Mapplethorpe?
I thought it was Mapplethorpe. Is it Mapple?
Okay. I don't know. I always said Mapplethorpe, but I think you're right. It is Mapplethorpe.
Snapplethorpe. He drinks a lot of Snapple.
That's what it is. Yeah, I think you're right. It is Mapplethorpe.
That is the guy. Well, great.
Pretend It's a City comes in 7 episodes. I would say it's about 4 hours long. Martin Scorsese is just the king of all things like this.
Yeah, he's good now, at this
apparently,
stuff.
He did a thing with her. Did you mention public speaking? Like, he did another documentary featuring her called Public Speaking in 2010.
Yeah, and that was on HBO back in the day. It's probably on Max. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing it, and I was like, eh. Mm-hmm. So, like, this is very, very good.
Much more accessible, probably, right? Like, looks like it is.
Yeah. So Netflix, eh? A lot of Netflix today. Look at us on Netflix.
Yes. I two days ago, someone in my circle asked, hey, what 3 streaming services do you require, right? And I was like, man, I have like 8 subscriptions right now. I should think about cutting some of those for a while, right?
Yeah.
And I had to stand and make the case for Netflix. Like, it's hard out there with all these choices, but Netflix still, it just has so much to offer.
Yeah, their original content's very good, despite what people may think of their prices going up and all that. I agree with you. Let's get down to Hulu for a minute, though. Let's walk over to Hulu Town. Okay. We're now on Hulu Street, and I'd like to tell you about a thing I watched there that is very old, but I used to love it even when I was very young, and rediscovering it again has been a bit of a treat. So I will play a scene with the actor David Morse in it. Here you go.
Everybody makes demands. The nurses, patients' family. Anybody can handle that 12 hours a day. And I go to sleep in my room and I lie down. And I'm in my dream. And somebody beeps me for Mr. Jones. Why can't I have my privacy? Why can't I eat my meal in peace? Why must I always be available? Constantly!
It's a lot to expect from that guy.
Wow, yeah. This takes me back like 40 years.
Oh, yeah, it should. It is Saint Elsewhere. Some people may remember this if you're as young as us or as old as us or whatever we are. In relation to us, this is a show that aired from 1982 to 1988. It was created by Joshua Brand and John Falzi. If you've heard those names before, it's probably because you're fans of Northern Exposure. They're the show they would do after this. In a lot of ways, it shares some of that DNA. It's kind of got a quirky cast. It's about a hospital and these people in that hospital. It's the place that you first ever saw people like Ed Begley Jr., Howie Mandel, David Morse, as I mentioned.
You'll believe Howie Mandel can be a doctor.
That's right. You kind of will. It's weird that way. A lot of really great old actors too, like Norman Lloyd and William Daniels. But Denzel Washington is the one that on the art now. They make him front and center because he became the biggest star after this.
And he's like 10th billing.
Yeah, he's barely in it. Star. Yeah, at least in the early seasons. He's in it, but it's very spotty and he's barely in it. This is mostly the David Morse show in that first season.
With no spoilers, knowing the ending, Does it make the show a little harder to watch? Like
no, because and I know you're reminding me of it. I'm glad you brought that up because there was a concern when I started it again that I would be like, well, I know where this goes, so why am I putting myself through this? And I think that like Falsey and what's his name's work tend to be this way. The journey is really the best part.
It has to be in this one, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's very good. There, you know, I think there are shows like ER and even some of the newer medical procedurals that kind of owe their DNA or a lot of what they put on screen to this show.
Yeah, Grey's Anatomy is just a take on this.
Oh, big time. Yeah. It's a little more, you know, it's more focused on the relationships than this one is. But I love David Morris. I could watch him do anything. Like, I love that actor. I loved him in The Rock. I loved him in a million things. I love that actor. And he is really, really putting his all into this. He's very young. That's the other thing. You're going to think Ed Begley Jr. is a child in this. He's so freaking young. And it holds up. It's just really well made, really well done. I love the theme song. I love the interaction between especially William Daniels' Mark Craig character and Norman Lloyd, who plays Dr. Daniel Auschlander. He's basically the head of the hospital, and they get in fights all the time, and they're just two great old actors just watching them fight.
In the last season, Scott, you get Bruce Greenwood and Ronnie Cox.
Yeah, some Ronnie Cox in there, baby.
Yeah, gotta love it.
Mark Harmon got his big start here as well. A lot of actors kind of got their feet wet and then went on to other stuff, so... I just find it a real comfort kind of food kind of watch. I've got it on kind of in the background, but I really enjoy it if you like that kind of stuff. Hulu's great for it's one of the things I like about Hulu. We got all this old stuff, and I love checking in on it, and I'm really enjoying it. So that is Saint Elsewhere, available in full on Hulu.com.
And have you gotten yet to their crossover episode with Cheers?
I have not done that yet, no. And I kind of forgot that existed.
It's the last episode of the third season.
Third season. Yeah, really? I didn't know
that was a thing. That's hilarious.
That's great. That was a popular thing back then, I guess, to cross over weird stuff like that.
The three main doctors go to Cheers, and they talk to Cliff Clavin and Norm.
That's wild.
Carla's there.
Yeah. It's like how the ER guys visited Friends, but not quite as the ER guys.
No. No, not exactly. It's so funny. I'm looking at this cover art. It's like Denzel Washington and then little tiny pictures of everybody else. And it's funny because it's just not, it's not the Denzel show. Not yet anyway. It gets more Denzel heavy toward the end, but you know, he took on a whole life of his own. Anyway, check it out. Available now. These will all be up on quicktms.li and you can find our recommendations there. Randy, it's been a pleasure hanging with you today.
Yep, I gotta get back to the Microsoft grind.
That's right. Get your Word. Get all your Word, all your Excel documents, and all that. Get that in there. And
We haven't converted over to Teams yet, and I'm just like bracing for the bad time.
Let's hope they put you on that new flight simulator program that they're working on.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Interesting.
You'll be the guy. All right, man. See ya. Oh, we should have mentioned this week's film sack is
Hollywood Homicide.
Hollywood Homicide. Yep. Never saw it.
Can't wait, Brian said with an asterisk.
Did you see it before? Or is
no, I haven't watched. No, I don't know if I've seen it before. It could be one of those things that like was on because of the cast. And I said, all right, well, I'll put it on here and we'll see.
I want to check it out. Someone's Icor says, not the Burbs. The Burbs was last week, Icor. Get with the times.
Correct. Yeah, keep up.
Try and Come keep on. Up, will you? All right.
Exactly.
Not the Microsoft Grinder.
They're my garbage parody for the Burbs.
I like Microsoft Grinder with an R. That's pretty good, Dylan.
Microsoft Grinder.
Yeah. Nice. It's a little dating service they run over there.
Uh-huh. Love it.
We're going to get out of here now before we do.
Oh, no. I swiped left and got Clippy.
Damn it. You want it. Bob's worst. You don't want Microsoft.
Bob is worse. Yeah. Oh, my God, Bob.
Snap. Got a quick snap text here from Luke from Boulder there in Colorado. He says, not sure if this is a brag or a cry for help, but I'm collection level 15798 in Marvel Snap, nice, including today's release of two new cards. I'm only missing 10 cards, and I usually get up to rank 80 or 90 on the ladder each season. And to add to yesterday's discussion, Marvel Snap releases a new card every Tuesday, like clockwork. Plus, each new season, which is roughly monthly, also comes out with its own new card. Hope to catch Brian on the ladder someday, says Luke.
I'd love that. Yeah, you'll have to let me know. Are you Oh, what is it? A whatnot? Isn't that what Luke's name is in chat? Or am I? I'm confusing with another Luke because we have many Lukes.
We have so many Lukes, and they're so all ours. Lukes. So we don't even have one we can call our own. They're all ours.
Right, this one is mine. Yep. Yeah, I can't remember what Luke's screen name is, but I'd love to know what your Snap nickname is, because you'll be quick to identify me because I play as Coverville. But it'd be great to see you in there. That's cool. 15,000. You know, what I need to do is actually do the checklist thing and see how many cards I am missing from the full set.
How many total cards are there?
I know what I can do. I can just show unowned. Let's see here.
How many total number of cards do you know off the top of your
head? That's a really good question. I don't know.
Number of Snap cards. Let's see if we can find it.
Yeah.
Because that seems intense to me.
That's an ever-growing number. Like, it just went up.
Also, aren't they in some risk of running out of characters? Like, I mean,
the Marvel Universe, Scott, you'll never run out of characters.
I mean, there's got to be some finite number.
I mean, there's some finite, but they've got the multiverse, so, you know,
that's true. Yeah.
There's 11 different, 1,000 different Spider-Men alone that they can do.
That's true.
I don't have Martyr. I don't have Grandmaster. I don't have whatever is between after Grandmaster and before Morbius in the 2 energy 0 power card. I don't have Mirage. I don't have Ravonna Renslayer. I don't have Jean Grey.
No Jean Grey.
No Jean Grey.
My gosh.
It's a piss off your opponent card basically just makes it so they can't play, that nobody can play in that column anymore. Gladiator, I don't have. I don't have whatever's between Silver Samurai and Warpath, which means I don't think I've even seen it. Beta Ray Bill, the most recent Tuesday
card. Oh, here's your number as of the second. Yeah, you know. So how many days was that ago? 4 or 5 days ago?
About a week ago, yeah.
261 available cards, give or take. And, okay. That changes every week, like you said. Let's see.
Yeah, Annihilus, supposed to be Lady Deathstrike, Eliath. That's it. There. So I probably listed about 14, 15 cards that I don't have. So I'm right behind you, Luke. And there's a few here, surprisingly, that I see, but it doesn't even show me what that card is. And maybe those are new season cards too.
You know, it just reminded me that they have unending sources of characters here. This article that I found is Black Panther and an Iron Man mega suit thing. And I realized,
you
got to do is just do all that. Oh, suddenly Spider-Man's all stretchy because in this universe, he got hit with the gamma rays or whatever.
The cosmic rays in space.
Yeah.
And
the Hulk in this one is tiny. He's still strong, but he's little tiny Ant-Man Hulk.
Yeah.
That's how they do it. Well, anyway, thank you, Luke. If you want to send us a text, you can 801-471-0462. You can email us themorningstream@gmail.com. For everything else, you'll find it at frogpants.com/TMS. We're going to get out of here. Brian brought a song. It's nice and sweaty and ready to play. Let's do it.
Good Lord. Yeah, in addition to yesterday being my wife's birthday, it was the birthday of a lot of people. So I'm actually going to read you a couple of emails for today's end song, but there's even a third one that I'll try and get to tomorrow for cover or for the song.
Cool.
Peter Fisher wrote, actually, let's do this one. Zoe Brings Bacon, who also shared a birthday yesterday, says, "Hey, Sausage and Bacon, I want to wish a happy birthday on Tuesday, the 6th of February, to Peter Fisher, Big Jim, and the most awesome Tina Ibbett." Oh, and it's my birthday, too. I'm much later submitting this request than I should have done, so if you're not able to fit this in today, that's okay. Love you loads, and can't wait to see you again in Vegas. And then she added, "If Peter Fisher requested a song, please play that."
Nice.
So this goes out to Zoe and to Peter Fisher. Peter writes, "Greetings, Scale Mail and Brigandine.
Sure.
As I finish my 53rd rotation of Sol, I need a song to be played in recognition. Previously, I've just asked for random music in random genres. Today, I'll be a bit more specific. I'd like a cover of a smooth song, big band, Sinatra style, or Sinatra type, done in a garage band style, like Sid Rotten's My Way." I think you mean Sid Vicious, but nice amalgamation of two of the members of the Sex Pistols. But not that. Hopefully this request won't be too perilous. Just to be safe, maybe Let's Test the Ship's Phasers. Thanks, Peter, from Holy Moneyland.
Well, we can definitely test the ship's phasers.
Let's test the ship's phasers.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to all you fine, fine people who share a birthday with my awesome wife. Let's get to this. This is something that I hope you'll enjoy and find perfect, Peter. This is an artist named Frank Sin. That's it. Just Frank Sin.
Wow.
Don't continue that word. But he does exactly what you think he would do. Rock versions of Frank Sinatra songs. Actually, this is a song originally done by Kay Ballard, but you'll forever equate it or forever connect it with Frank Sinatra. From the album Gods and Broads from 2007, here's Frank Sin and Fly Me to the Moon.
I saw the biggest bullfrog this morning.